When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Might have to change the title of this segment.
To what?
To the CBA today.
That's not as fun as NIL today.
I know.
NIL is fun because it is name, image, likeness, but as you call it,
now it's legal.
What would you call CBA? Collectively bargained agreement. What would you call that? What's a fun new term for that? Checks?
College bitch ass?
Checks? Is can you use the word B? Is there a money word that starts with B? Checks, bitches, actually.
Sure.
There you go. It's time for that segment.
But the CBA, a collective bargaining agreement, could be in the future.
Of what?
Of college sports.
What? How, John?
Well, Jack Schwarbrick, the Notre Dame athletic director.
And still your Notre Dame athletic director,
recently told Yahoo Sports that he believes it is time to collectively bargain with athletes,
you know,
or bargain collectively with
you
athletes.
Made fun of Jim Harbaugh for a lot of things, but you need to give him his flowers for being on this train before he left Michigan. He had been talking about a CBA, about collectively bargaining with his athletes for a while.
Well, Schwarbrick recently said, it's a radical notion, but if we could find a way to reach binding agreements with our student athletes, most of this, all the problems of college athletics today, goes away. The concept, according to the article, would mirror a collective bargaining system seen in pro sports, but without stripping student athletes of their student status. And that seems to be the real hangup. If you're going to have a collective bargaining agreement, you first must have a union.
Oh, that too, yeah.
You got to have a union.
Employees. They need to be employees.
Now, this might be another way of the folks who want to preserve some semblance of an NCAA wanting their having their cake and eating it too.
Because as always with this topic, I really believe that the people in this moment who are in power, they don't want to have to do the final step. They want to save that for somebody else.
Yes.
They don't want to be a part of this turning into a true professional model. They don't want to deal with that.
So I guess it begs the question, can a union be recognized without having employee status?
Do you have the answer to this question?
Well,
smarter people than us have probably tried to unpack this.
I'm kind of reading.
I feel like you have to be.
I do too.
And that's not me.
I do too.
It's just kind of like an understanding of things.
And remember, the National Labor Relations Board enforces U.S. labor law.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
According to their law, you have to be an employee in order to form a union and be recognized as a union, thus to have the ability to collectively bargain. So really what the NCAA or what people like Schwarbrick and others are looking for, they're looking for Congress to do something.
As always.
Because if Congress could
create
some kind of a class of individual.
Please, Ted Cruz.
That could form a union or some kind of a bargaining unit without being declared employees. I mean, you could pass a law that way. Now, would somebody challenge that law, thus taking it to the Supreme Court? Possibly. I don't know.
But we know how the Supreme Court feels about some of this stuff at the very least.
Sure, but this is totally different. So
it is.
I mean, this is a, and Schwarbrick's not wrong If you could collectively bargain with the student athletes, you could eliminate a lot of these problems. Because my biggest problem, and this goes back to stuff we talked about last week when this plan came out, and if you missed it, Ross Dellinger was the first to report on this, but there was details on a college model that would be a revenue sharing agreement that would also provide for past damages and would go into effect in the fall of 2025.
Yeah.
But how do you get to that number? And the
Which number,
by the way, is the $17 to $22 million revenue sharing cap. Well, the reason why you can have a salary cap in pro football or a luxury tax, as it is called in Major League Baseball, is because there's a union to negotiate with.
And you know what? Their split is right around 50%.
Yeah, the NBA's is basically 50-50.
So like,
50% of the revenues go to the owners, 50% go to the players.
Great, great to bring up the NBA. Why are so many people talking about the television contract? I mean, for some of us, it is, I want to hear Round Ball Rock again. For others, it is, this will control the future of the league and salary caps. The last time that they had a change, that they did not massage the cap. It spiked immediately. It's what allowed the Warriors, for example, to get Kevin Durant. So that's a 50-50 split between players and owners. That's how that, but as you keep talking about, that is collectively bargained. So like this number, and I heard Dan Wetzel talking about it today on the Athletics College Football Pod. He was like, this number is great for the universities because it is not 50%.
No, it's not even close.
It's not. That's not even 50% of the TV revenue, let alone anything else combined.
Correct.
So like this is a number that they want it to be. Oh,
of course they do. But how do you reach that number if you're not negotiating with the other side? If you're just plucking a number out of the sky and saying, well, this is what we're willing to give you, what's going to keep the players from saying, no, that's not good enough? And you might say, well, what can they do about it? They're not going to go on strike. No, but what they will do is file more lawsuits, which is why we're in the situation we're in now with all of these different lawsuits that are out there, because of the things that the NCAA has been doing for decades are finally being challenged, and they're winning those fights. They're winning those challenges against the NCAA.
Sure.
So you can't really execute a plan like the one that Dellinger spelled out unless you come to an agreement. And so Schwarbrick, again, is right. If we could collectively bargain, we could solve a lot of these problems. Now, the other problem that you run into is, well, what does it mean for everybody? Are we just talking about the football players? Are we talking about the revenue sports, football and basketball?
Correct.
Or are we talking about all athletes?
And then, I mean, inside of those sports, are you talking about every school? Are you opting in? Are you opting out? You know?
Yeah, the plan that Dellinger pointed out was that schools weren't mandated to follow this. That this was a suggestion. That if a school said, we can't do this, that they don't have to do
it. It's like, yeah, we're not going to force you to do it, but obviously that you are competing and you are involved in a much, 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 much different world of college football if you are not opting in. And hell, if you're opting in, you're opting into a much different world in college football.
Sure. The one of the things about making the athletes employees could lead to, once again, a patchwork of different state laws. So one
which
state,
again is kind of what brought about NIL to begin with, right? It was California.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely.
And then everybody else.
And so again, this is why you want the congressional side of it, because then it becomes a national law and you don't have to worry about state by state. But the issue with that is, how much do you want Congress getting involved in all of this stuff? Because that can lead to a lot of meddling and just a lot of different things.
Well, and to go back to the reference that I made a couple of minutes ago, and do you remember, John, when that went, and this is about the Supreme Court, this is not about Congress, when it went before the Supreme Court, what exactly was the NCAA trying to get in that moment? I remember one of their arguments was that like fans wouldn't like college athletics if they are getting paid. And they lost 9-0. And that, remember, so they went to the Supreme Court. They were hoping to get the Supreme Court on their side. Mm-hmm. Not only were they not on their side, they were against them, and they got shut out themselves. Mm-hmm. And so like that's the part that I always am curious about with this stuff is you go to Congress, you go to the Supreme Court, whatever it is, and you're expecting them to help you out or to be on your side. I think that we have learned in recent years that that is not going to be the case. Like, it's very obvious that, we need some sort of whatever word, guardrails that you want to use, salary cap, whatever it is. We're talking about a structure, and really so much of this does boil down, as always, to the freedom of movement and the lack of rosters staying together for any sort of time. And like the lineman that I'm forgetting his name right now, Proctor, right? Commits to Iowa, goes to Bama, leaves Bama, goes to Iowa, leaves Iowa, goes back to Bama. Like, we all would say, me, someone who's like, get your bag, kids, all the way down to someone who would say, I wish that they could never transfer ever. We all would agree that that's a pretty silly situation. But I don't know if they're going to get exactly what they're hoping for, just judging by what's happened recently.
You're going to have this umbrella, but who's covered under the umbrella? Who are you negotiating with? Again, is it all student athletes? Is it some student athletes? Is it the student athletes of the sports that make money? Is the student athletes of the sports that make money at the schools that want to participate? Who are you negotiating with? There's so many different things that have to be answered here, and nothing that I see on the horizon isn't going to stop yet another lawsuit from happening.
Well, and the other thing, too, is, you know, like, okay, so you negotiate with the CBA and the NFL. The NFL now is over 100 years old. Major League Baseball, the National League. How old is the National League? How old is the American League? We're hundreds.
Over 120 years old, right, for
there you go.
The American League.
The union in the NBA. That's not 100, but it's many, many decades old. So we have gotten used to it. We have seen it. There are all these laws and rules within these leagues. This is on the fly with institutions, first of all, that are on their own are like not on the same calendar,
right,
in just the educational form. And then, yeah, you're talking about state laws, and you're talking about conferences, and then you're talking about this giant purview. It's a lot of different stuff. And you obviously want a clean, kind of a clean decision or a clean box that everybody goes in at the same time, and then some people decide to stay outside of it. I mean, you know, it's so funny. We so often have predicted and theorized about whatever is next in college sports, and you almost wonder if, like, whatever it is, how big this is going to be a part of that. Not so much like Bama and USC and Ohio State decide we don't need Vanderbilt anymore, but more that those three schools and many others are like, we want to pay, and that's going to whittle the number right there, because then that number of schools maybe has to come to the table and agree on something. But even then, you have to have someone that starts the process in the first place. It's like, what does that look like? It's inherently frustrating to think about.
402-951-1620. Here is Steve. Hi, Steve. Thanks for waiting. You're on the Zone.
Hi, it's just kind of ironic, because I read this in the paper today, that the Senate and the House of Representatives, either Friday or last Thursday, they voted to overturn an executive order by Biden. And Biden's executive order stated that you do not have to be an employee to fall under the rules of the National Labor Board. So that is not an issue at this point, being an employee. What I think the problem is going to be, if they are declared an employee, scholarships would then be taxable, just like they are for corporations.
Sure.
If a corporation decides to pay for someone's education, that is taxable. So if all these students that want free scholarship and they're not getting good NIL deals, they're going to have a tax bill and net nothing.
That's a good point, Steve, because that's another part of it that you know, if that is indeed the case. Now, again, if you could get some kind of congressional protection to somehow keep them from outside of the employee realm, and I don't know if that's possible. Again, you're asking Congress to do something. They can't agree on a lot of things right now. And a case like this, who knows?
Well, it does seem like of all the issues, this has been one that across the aisle, there does seem to be, I mean, certainly with players getting paid, it seems like there is a lot of handshake memes going on with both the left and the right on this issue, because they believe in different things that ultimately gets them to kind of the same answer. But, I mean, for something this large, at that point, who knows?
Well, and also keep in mind, there's going to be more of an interest to try to solving this problem in some states than there are in others. You know, football country might have a different view of things than non-football country.
100%.
And the same can be said for basketball. And then again,
then you wonder about the trickle down on the other sports.
If we're only talking about the revenue sports,
yeah,
someone's going to say, well, what about women's sports? What about the non-revenue sports?
Mm-hmm.
Don't they get a say in all of this? Or should they have a say in all of this?
Hey, going back to what you said a couple seconds ago, spot on. All right, I know what the South is going to do. I know what they're going to do. I know what Ohio is going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, Pennsylvania. I know what Nebraska is going to do. I don't know what they want to do. But, you know, you start getting into some other states, and yeah, I don't know the answer for some of those states, you know? Absolutely wild.
But apparently there's less than 40 days to come to a settlement.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily on the CBA side of it. That's a different entity. But at least on the revenue sharing side of it, before this case apparently will go to trial.
Mm-hmm.
And the case isn't going to go to trial until January. So this is a deadline only imposed by the plaintiff's attorneys who want some kind of action done. But already some schools are making way for whatever this might be.
And, you know, to go back to the question you just asked, you asked about the states and then you asked about, okay, but what does this mean for other sports? So that is also an interesting question from this perspective. Okay, so Kentucky basketball. I will use them because they get SEC football money, but they are a basketball school first and foremost, right? Mm-hmm. That's what they care about the most. We know how much money they are bringing in. They would be able to afford whatever would be under a new purview in men's college basketball, right? All right. Creighton, though, would not. Because Creighton does not have football money to fall back on.
Correct.
They have basketball money and only basketball money to fall back on. And while it allows that team to certainly spend, we would be joking if we said out loud that like Creighton can spend the way Kentucky has, or can, rather. It's like, what does that mean for a school like them? Not just to pick on a local team. All right, well, what does that mean for a school like a Gonzaga, another basketball school,
right,
that is in a... I mean, what kind of conference? They're in a mid-major conference, whatever we want to refer to the West Coast Conference as. So, like, what they want to do versus what they can do. It's different. I know what Nebraska wants to do, and I know what they can do. They're going to be aligned on that. Kentucky hoops, same thing. Creighton basketball, probably not. Gonzaga basketball, probably not. And you can find a few of other hoop schools, baseball schools,
yeah,
programs that are the same way, that they say we want to do X, but we can't because we cannot afford it to that degree. And so, yeah, what does it mean for those other sports? Who knows?
Still to come, Steve Sipple will join us in the happy hour. Also, meant to get to this yesterday, but the hype monster loves the strength of schedule.
Oh!
We'll have more on that coming up.
Don't forget a couple of things. Wooden bats and rubber hats. It's a baseball day because it's a Tuesday. You love this segment. I'm going to tell you about a team that we might not be seeing in Omaha this year. And this is going to make people happy. People are calling me Baseball Moses for what I'm about to say.
I don't think they're calling
me baseball. Because I come down from on high with the tablets of information.
Wow.
But also, the other thing, what?
It's blasphemy.
Baseball, no, it's not.
It's close to blasphemy.
It's close, but it's not. I thought about that this morning.
It's
I was
almost
thinking,
blasphemy.
Is this blasphemy? But then I ultimately decided no, because Moses was just a person. He was not a deity. He's just a guy. He lived almost 1,000 years.
He's just a guy.
He was a very, he's a. He lived a long time. He was an old. He lived almost 1,000 years. Did you know that about Moses? No, wait. I was thinking of Noah. I think Moses lived pretty old, too. Either way. The other reminder, John.
Is what?
And I don't know what Moses thought about pizza, but this week's Zone
Deal.
I'm
sure he would have enjoyed it.
It's awesome. Who doesn't love pizza? Joey, you love pizza.
I do, Josh.
You had pizza last night.
Yeah, I had pizza last night.
What's for dinner? What's for dinner for you tonight? Well, it could be Cops, but how about this? On Friday morning at 9, you can get $50 worth of vouchers for just $25. John, whether it's dine-in,
mm-hmm,
whether it's carry-out,
mm-hmm,
delivery,
mm-hmm,
three convenient locations in Omaha,
right, yeah,
pizza, seafood, pasta,
right, yeah,
and delicious charred wings, among other items. You can get that at 1620thezone.com. How neat is that?
It's as cool can be.
That's not blasphemy.
1620 The Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.